The views expressed in this podcast are solely those of the individuals being interviewed and do not necessarily represent those of the Greater Winter Haven Chamber of Commerce. You're listening to It's Happening in the Haven. I'm your host, Brianna Price. Each episode, I get the privilege to speak to the amazing people taking Winter Haven and its surrounding Central Florida area to the next level. We're future-focused, celebrating our entrepreneurial history and leveraging it for our bright future ahead. This podcast is made possible through the generous support of our sponsors who believe in advancing commerce and community here in Winter Haven.
Hello, I'm Greg Littleton, President and CEO of Citizens Bank and Trust. We are proud to be a sponsor for Season 8 of It's Happening in the Haven. At Citizens Bank and Trust, we take great pride in being Polk County's bank, founded and frostproof in 1920 and now in our third generation of family ownership. Our team members also work, live, and give back to the local communities we serve. One of the ways we give back is as a presenting sponsor of Community Fest. This family-focused local event is just one of the activities that makes Winter Haven a premier destination for families. If you're looking for a community bank with a heart for people, I invite you to stop by any of our conveniently located offices or visit us at citizens-bank.com. At Citizens Bank and Trust, we're proud to be your bank. Member FDIC, Equal Housing Lender.
On today's episode, I speak with the CEO of the Florida Children's Museum, Carrie Falwell. Carrie shares a little bit about the transition to Bonnet Springs, the importance of playful learning, and why this is such an asset to the families in Polk County. Welcome to the podcast, Carrie.
Thank you for having me.
I'm very excited to dive into this conversation. There are so many amazing things going on at the Florida Children's Museum. And it's crazy because I just had a baby, actually. She's 8 months old.
Congratulations.
Thank you very much. And so we haven't quite made it yet to the Florida Children's Museum for her. But I remember actually when I was over, a school age program for a daycare, and, during the summers we would go on little field trips and we went to the Florida Children's Museum when it was in downtown Lakeland. Mm-hmm. And I just thought it was the cutest, most fun thing ever. but obviously lots has changed and lots has been updated. So I'm excited to kind of talk a little bit about that. But before we jump in, I wanted to kind of hear a little bit about you. So, you know, anything you want to share with us? Have you lived in Polk County always? Give us a little bit about yourself.
Sure. So I grew up in Texas and I came to Florida by way of graduate school.
Okay.
So I went to Florida State for my master's and then ended up in Central Florida. And it has really blossomed my perspective on the world, which I think is beautiful, right? That's why you go to college and graduate school and you want to do that. So I think that's really lovely. I actually don't live in Polk County.
Okay.
I commute from Hillsborough County.
Do you really?
I do.
See? I'm learning more and more already.
I know.
Yeah.
So I choose to work in Polk County because I feel like I can make a better impact.
Absolutely.
So, I worked in Hillsborough County at the Children's Museum in Tampa for a long time.
Oh, fun.
Yeah. And before that, my whole background has been in arts education. So
wow.
My bachelor's degree is in flute performance.
Seriously?
Seriously.
That's amazing.
And I in college, realized that not every kid had access to an arts education, and I was flabbergasted. And it's not like I grew up in a wealthy family.
Right.
But it was just always something that was around. We always had music on. Mm-hmm. We always had opportunities to dance or we always visited museums if we went to on a vacation or something. So it was mind-boggling that a child had gone their whole life and not seen a dinosaur fossil or a science experiment or a work of art. And that fueled my career.
Absolutely. That's amazing. Well, obviously, we're very happy that you're here in Polk County and making such a huge difference.
Me
yes,
too,
absolutely. Hey, there's nothing wrong with commuting. There's nothing wrong with that.
No, it's not.
And a lot of people do that. So we're obviously very happy to have you. So for someone who is listening who might not know anything about the Florida Children's Museum, would you mind giving us just a little bit of a rundown of what that is?
Yes. So we are a nonprofit, and we are inside Bonnet Springs Park, which is a free, privately funded public park. So it's twice the size of Magic Kingdom. So that, like,
I did not know that.
Yeah.
And it's funny you say that because I'm kind of a Disney nerd. So the fact that you said that put it into perspective big time.
Yeah.
Magic Kingdom is huge.
It's huge. Bonnet Springs Park is twice the size
of
Magic Kingdom.
You are lying right here, right now on this podcast. Are you serious?
Yeah, I'm serious.
That's amazing. What a fun fact.
Yeah. Yeah. So Magic Kingdom is about 60 acres big. And Bonnet Springs Park is 167.
Wow.
Yeah.
What a fact.
Right.
I had no idea.
Yeah. So we are a portion of that. And we used to be Explorations 5 in downtown Lakeland, if anyone remembers that. And last year we opened our new project called Florida Children's Museum. It's just under 50,000 square feet. And we designed the exhibits very intentionally to reach kids from birth to developmentally around 12, 13. It depends on how much of a preteen your kid is, right?
Right.
And when they age out. But the hope was that we would build a space where kids could grow into each of the areas and we could keep them until 12 or 13 because our volunteer program starts at 14.
Oh, okay. That's cool.
Yeah. So we wanted a birth to 12th grade opportunity to engage kids in the developmental process. So there's everything from a seed pod for infants, like your little one.
Wow, and I didn't know that, see?
Yeah, and daily programming that enhances the exhibits that go on with it. So if you have your eight-month-old and you're in the seed pod, and maybe once she gets to be about 12 months or whenever she starts walking, then you want to start coming to the Movin' and Groovin' program at three, right?
That sounds so fun.
Yeah, it's going to help her with her balance and her gross motor as she starts to learn how to walk and control her body. Mm-hmm. And it's done to the rhythm of music and sometimes holding a scarf or something interesting like that.
I love it.
Yeah, and you scaffold that all the way up to a gallery like TBD, which is the actual name of the gallery, where kids are actually building their own stop motion animation video and changing out the backdrops and the characters, and then they can download that content on their phone via QR code.
That's fun too.
Yeah.
Wow.
So a little bit of everything. I could spend the whole time of this podcast talking about each of the galleries.
Well, whatever you want to share, please feel free. But wow, that's amazing.
Yeah. So the older location, Explorations 5, really helped kids between like 3 to 8. Okay. So we were very intentional. We wanted to stretch that on both sides. Mm-hmm. So that's what you're going to see. You're going to see engagement for that. And then a question I get asked a lot is, why do grownups have to pay? It's because you are expected to play too.
Right. Right.
So it's, yes, your child is learning something, but what we're hoping that the grownup is learning out of it is how to engage in different ways with their kids, how to build that healthy attachment with their child, how to find out what things their kids are interested in.
Right.
If you only have, you can't afford every toy in the world, right?
No way.
So if you've got a four-year-old, let's say, and you have all the truck things in the world because when they were two, they really liked trucks. And so for every Christmas and birthday, grandma and grandpa and aunt and uncle, everybody bought him these trucks things. And then you go to the children's museum and you're in the dig pit and you realize he's obsessed with whales. And maybe you would have never known that.
Yeah.
And then you get to ask him really interesting questions about, why do you like that whale? And what do you know? And then he starts spouting off whale facts. And you're like, how did you learn those whale facts? And then he tells you how he learns them. And it just kind of starts this whole spiral of realizing that they have these really wonderful brains that are always growing, and it helps the parents too.
Yeah, I think in this day and age where a lot of us are glued to our phones, whether or not we want to admit it or not, it's very easy to be on cruise control with our kiddos. Before I had my daughter, I have three nephews. And they just really want your attention and they want you to participate. So it's great that you guys have a resource for not only the kid to have fun, but for the parent to have fun and engage and create really precious memories. And as well as just knowing that their kid is developing mentally, physically. I mean, you're talking about my little one just learning balance. I mean, you think those things are simple, but those are things that she's obviously going to need to do at some point.
Yeah.
And she's kind of working on it now because she's starting to pull up on things and, you know, the whole nine. Yay. But that's really cool. So it's something for everybody, which is awesome.
Yeah, that's the hope.
Yes. So we talked a little bit about Explorations 5, where you guys were and kind of coming into this new era. Are there any things that you want to mention on the podcast that are new since you guys have, I mean, obviously, I'm sure there's a ton that's new, but is there anything specific that you might want to share that's like new programming or new highlights, anything like that?
Yeah. For people that have never heard of us before, they would not know that we have a 100-foot-long, 17-foot-tall alligator in our outdoor gallery that kids can climb all the way
around. I've seen pictures of that, actually. Wow. Yeah.
So when we did about 2 years' worth of research before we started planning. And during that time, Polk County had one of the highest, if not the highest, child obesity rates.
Really?
Really. Wow. And so it was very intentional that we invested a good deal, a good chunk of our exhibit budget to addressing gross motor. And we wanted it to be, you couldn't keep your hands off of it, right? So we decided to use art, and in this case, an alligator.
I love it.
Which is a giant sculpture, but the back legs are rock climbing walls and the front legs are crawl tunnels. And there's
fun.
A big wobble board in the middle, and there's a 14-foot roller slide on the tail, and there's musical instruments in the mouth and on the front feet. And so you really, you get your heart rate going and you're using creativity. So you're hearing kids come up with these stories and they're finding reasons to go up and down and up and down and up and down, right? But it's all built around this really beautiful sculpture.
Wow. So there's a little bit of art mixed in there.
Right.
I like how a lot of the things that you're saying are almost multi-purpose.
Of course.
So it's not just one thing. It's kind of like a lot of things wrapped into one thing.
Yeah.
Which is really cool.
Yeah, of course. So if you think about holistically how we are humans, right? So I'm going to, if I get a little too heady, you can like...
No, you're
you
know, fine.
Your ear or something.
Go Tell for me it.
So our formal education system, which is great and wonderful, and I don't have anything bad to say about that, but our formal education system, for the purpose of evaluation and instruction, broke apart things like science and art and math into their own individual subjects.
Right.
But naturally, that's not the best way to always learn.
Mm.
So within art, there is always math. Within science, there is always art. With, you know, I sometimes describe it to grown-ups as the Da Vinci effect, right? Mm. So would Da Vinci have been such a great inventor if he was not also a great artist?
Wow. I mean, I just don't think I've ever thought of that.
So if he would not have been able to make the beautiful renderings of what he was building, would he have been able to get the measurements correct and come up with the contraptions that he did, right? Because we think of him as both an artist, prolific artist, and a prolific inventor. And those two things in his world were very dependent on each other.
Wow. I never thought of it like that. But yeah, you're right. You're absolutely right.
So kids, especially in the younger years, are just little Da Vincis, and they don't understand that there's a difference between art and science. To them, it is all creation.
Right.
Right. It's all creativity. It's all invention. And so 80% of the brain is developed before the age of 8.
My gosh.
So the way that I explain this is that your house is built. Mm-hmm. You can always like update the electrical or rearrange the furniture or whatever it is. But the bones of your house is your house.
Right. Right.
And that's to say, of course, you can always be a lifelong learner. But the strongest, most impactful neural connections happen in those really early years. And you have to do it in a way that creates neural plasticity, which is just a really fancy way of saying let the brain be as flexible to information as possible.
Mm. Well, it sounds like you guys are doing that with all of the things that you have at these little kids' fingertips. And not just little kids, but you said 12 to 13. I mean, that's not a little kid anymore.
No, it's not.
So that's good that, you know, you're offering opportunities for all ages to really be able to experience what you're talking about.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely.
And I had never thought of it like that. So I'm learning something new, too, which is great.
Good.
I was reading when I was on your guys' website that Polk County has more than 50% of kindergartners are not on level to start reading. Mm-hmm. And when I read that, I was, first of all, just shocked because I didn't know that. And that is a very large percentage. But I obviously read more, and you guys are offering programming to kind of combat that. So I wondered if you could maybe share a little bit about that.
Yeah, the statistic is about 56% right now. It's the latest one.
Okay.
So to explain to your listeners, that means that more than every other kid walking to a kindergarten classroom can't pass a kindergarten readiness assessment.
When you say it like that, even more put into perspective. Wow. Mm-hmm. Wow.
And if it's that high, that means it goes across city lines and socioeconomic means, right?
Yeah.
So this is a countywide problem from top to bottom.
Wow.
What we do to address it is to get the brain ready to learn to read, right? So there's a few things. The kindergarten readiness assessment has a bunch of questions, but for example, it could be count to 20, or tell me the difference between a letter and a number, or look at a sentence and tell me which word is the longest. You don't have to be able to read the word, but tell me which one, word is the longest. So we've been working in this field for quite some time. And I hate to say it, but for about 15 years, this has been the case.
Wow.
This is not a new problem. And there are lots of really wonderful programs that are trying to combat it. United Way of Central Florida has been pumping millions of dollars into trying to address this. There are a lot of people doing a lot of good work, but it has been, the needle has not moved in the right direction in about 15 years. So you start to think about, well, it's like anything else. You want to do early intervention, right? So if you buy a new car, you want to make sure that you get all of your scheduled oil changes and tire rotations, because you know that early care is going to help your car last longer, right? And this, it's a crude analogy, but the more maintenance you do the earlier in the child's life, the more likely they are that they're going to sustain a healthier,
right?
So when you're talking about kindergarten readiness, if you're a child and you can't even sit long enough to finish the exam, then you can't do it.
Yeah.
If you don't have the language to either understand or communicate your answer, you're not going to pass.
Right.
If you don't have the executive function to say, hold the pencil and fill in the circle or, you know, whatever it is, write your name on the paper, you're probably not going to pass. So we're addressing all of the things that happen so that you can learn.
Yeah.
We focus on executive function, which is the primary thing in the body that allows you to, like I said, hold a pencil, right? Those executive functions that your body has.
Yeah. Okay.
Social and emotional regulation, self-regulation, which is... somebody upsets me and I can calm myself down.
Right. That's a big one.
Really big one.
Yeah.
And then language, which is really big. So now this has never been a question that on the kindergarten readiness that I'm aware of. So I want to preface that, but I just want to go through an example. And this is one that I use often. If you're, even if it's not on the readiness exam, but if you're trying to engage a kindergartner in early literacy and you say there's a picture of a ballerina and then the sentence underneath it says, Jane loves ballet. Now, you may be expecting the reader to be able to read Jane. Maybe you're working on A and E words, right? Or N-E words. So, and then they're supposed to use the picture to infer the rest of the sentence.
Right.
Except I grow up in rural Polk County. No one in my family does ballet. No one in my family does dance. I've never seen a tutu.
Mm.
I've never seen ballet on television. Mm-hmm. Nobody's used that word for me. I am completely lost.
Hmm. Yeah. I never thought about that.
I couldn't infer the word ballet from a tutu if I had to save my life.
Right.
I've never heard the word. I've never seen the thing. I have no idea what it is. So a big part of kindergarten readiness is getting language into mm-hmm. kids. So we have had for the last 15 years a program funded through United Way that takes 4 and 5-year-olds who are going into kindergarten.
Mm-hmm.
And it's half the class is paid and half the class is scholarshiped. And so United Way is funding the scholarships. Mm-hmm. And for the past several years, we've worked with Jesse Keene Elementary, which is right in the backyard of the new Florida Children's mm-hmm. Museum. And we work with their reading coaches. And so we identify the kiddos either in pre-K who are repeating kindergarten or have been promoted to first grade but are on a watch list, right?
Okay.
And we pre- and post-test their language, not their literacy, but their language. And you are not going to see us do something like one-on-one tutoring. We're not going to sit there and drill sight words for summer camp.
Right.
That's not what this is. We play with them.
Yeah.
And we use language like, oh, I love that mug. How would you describe the colors on that mug? How would you describe? You think that looks blue? That looks a little light blue to me.
Hmm. Okay.
Wow. Look at all those fun icons. I see a guitar. What other icons do you see on that?
Okay.
So now I'm just pointing to the mug on your table right now, right? But now you put that same idea in 50,000 square feet of exhibits.
Mm-hmm.
And you can say something like, look at that tutu. Can you put the tutu on and make a video in TBD? We can download it and text it to your parent. Why don't you be a ballerina? Oh, a ballerina? Oh, that's a dancer that's somebody who dances a type of ballet. And usually, because sometimes it's slow and flowy. And this is called a tutu, and you can put it on. So, do you want to put on the tutu costume and you can be a dancer? And then maybe they change the idea, right?
Right.
So, that's how we're starting to do that. And you don't know what you don't know.
No. So, yes, that's exactly right.
Right. So we have the ability to curate galleries and experiences that create novel language for developing kindergartners.
Wow.
Before and after. So that's the biggest part. When we pre and post test the kindergartners, one of my favorite years, every single kid in the summer camp got the same question wrong. So it's a picture thing is one of, there's these two different language assessments that we do. And one version is look at this picture and tell me what it is just to see if you have, it's called picture vocabulary, right?
Okay.
So there was a picture. I'll tell you it was an animal.
Okay.
And not a single kid could tell us what it was.
Really?
Do you want to guess what it was?
Like a tiger?
Nope.
Giraffe?
No.
Zebra?
No.
Dog?
Squirrel.
Squirrel? Really?
Really.
Wow. That's funny.
Do you want to guess why?
I don't know why. I can't think of why.
Because they've never had a grown-up in their life go,
oh.
Do you see that squirrel? That squirrel's got a huge nut in its mouth. That's crazy. Where do you think it's taking that?
I have never thought of that. Now I'm thinking, like, I wonder if my parents ever pointed out a squirrel to me when I was young. Wow. Yeah.
Yeah.
Wow. So putting words to basically what they're seeing and experiencing.
Yeah. That's right.
Wow.
That's right. It takes an engaged adult almost narrating the world around you.
Yeah. And I've never thought about it like that.
Yeah.
And I also, it's, you know, interesting that you're talking about, you know, kids who might have people like growing up in a rural area and maybe never seeing a ballet or knowing what a tutu is. Like, I've never even considered that. Every child has a different experience and a different upbringing, and their parents are in different occupations. And it doesn't mean that every kid walks in the door knowing what a ballerina is.
Right.
Wow. And how can we assume that?
Right.
You know, that right. every kid comes in with different experience.
Right. And so then it starts this whole, we could go down a rabbit hole.
Oh, I'm
like,
sure.
Well, then how do you assess? Because it's so impossible.
Well, yeah.
And as we, you know, we've got probably the most educated generation with millennials, and we're in these niche careers, and then you've got your friends that have your same life experiences, but then you go to a neighborhood school that has a catchment area. It's a whole thing, right? So yes, you are exactly right. There are no two kids that go to kindergarten with the same life experience.
Wow. It's insane to think of that in that perspective, you know?
Right. So at the Children's Museum, we're trying to give them a level playing field.
Which is really awesome.
The Little Pinmon Kings have four locations here in Polk County, Florida, along with three locations in Michigan, Ohio, so we can serve you more and save you more. We buy more so we can save you more. We're proud and excited to announce this year the Little Pinmon Kings Used Vehicle Buying Center, located on Avenue K in the heart of Central Florida. Also, if you get in an accident, the Little Pinmon Kings will be happy to take care of you at our Winter Haven Collision Center. If you hit a deer, bring it here. If you hit a truck, you're in luck. Come to the Winter Haven Collision Center and let the Little Pinmon Kings take care of your vehicle. The Little Pinmon Kings are very proud and excited to be part of the fastest growing county in the state of Florida and one of the fast growing counties in the country, Polk County, Florida. We look forward to serving all the residents of Florida with all your automotive needs. On behalf of the Little Pinmon Kings, I hope you all roar, soar, and do more in 24.
And doing it in a very creative way. And I think the more creative you get, I think it sticks more. I don't know. You know,
yeah.
When you have something to attach it to, it feels like maybe that's going to stick more, especially with a little one, you know. They're
yeah.
so creative and they're so inquisitive. And if we would just give them the tools, you know, to put two and two together, you know.
So the researched term for that is playful learning.
Okay. I like that. That's fun.
Yeah. So if you Google, like, playful learning research, you'll
okay.
see a whole bunch of stuff come up.
Wow.
And the science is very, very clear, especially for kids under the age of 8.
Mm.
Learning in a playful atmosphere is far more productive than anything else.
Yeah, I don't feel like the rigidity is probably the best avenue for that.
No.
But I do like, Carrie, too, what you're saying. Like, you've said it here and there, basically, that, you know, a lot of this is backed up with research.
Mm-hmm.
Things that you guys have been learning about, reading about for many years. Because again, the Florida Children's Museum isn't technically new. You guys have been around for how many years?
Over 30. Yeah,
so
32.
Yeah, you guys have been around the block, if you will, and you know what you're doing. But it's nice that, you know, you're not just a playground for kids to come and play.
Right.
Although people can think that, and I think that's fine. But there's purpose behind it. And I think that's when it feels even more valuable, is to know, like, oh, I'm sending my kid to the Florida Children's Museum and they're not just going to play, but they're going to do playful learning and they're going to come
right.
home and maybe be able to tell me something about something that they saw or did. And
right.
Well, thank you for sharing that.
Of course.
And you're kind of insinuating that basically there's something for everyone.
Mm-hmm.
You know, if you come, everybody in the family has a chance to play. And something that I was reading about is that you guys have sensory kits that mm-hmm. families can check out. And I thought that was very interesting. And I thought maybe you could tell us, you know, what's included in that and why was that a priority for the museum to have as a resource for families?
It's a great question. I'm glad you asked it. So inside the sensory kit is a pair of noise-canceling headphones.
Okay.
Sunglasses, gloves, a visual timer.
Okay.
Hand fidget. And then we have one pair of color correcting glasses for someone with color blindness.
Okay. Wow.
And there's four kits available, but except we only have one pair of the color correcting glasses at the time. And that was really important because we had just built, with the help of Bonnet Springs Park, $10 million building and then $7 million worth of exhibits, where we had invested $600,000 for intentional inclusivity.
Wow.
So we really needed to make sure that we put our programs where our money was, right?
Yeah.
Right?
Right.
So when we had, when we knew what the building and the exhibits were going to look like, I reached out to an acquaintance of mine, Dr. Wesley Dotson at Texas Tech University, and he's the director for the Center for Autism Education and Research.
Okay.
And I'm not sure if he is now, but he at the time was also the autism education consultant for the Fred Rogers Company, Mr. Rogers Neighborhood and Daniel's Tiger.
Wow.
Neighborhood and that. Yeah.
Wow.
All of their host of programming. And he specializes in architecture that benefits children on the spectrum, keeping them safe,
right,
keeping them engaged, keeping them regulated. And I want to preface this by saying that autism is a spectrum. And the on one side, you have kids who need to dampen their sensory inputs. Mm-hmm. And on the other side, you have people who need stronger sensory inputs.
Okay.
So in both situations, if you are overstimulated or understimulated, you will seek to correct that.
Right.
And you can help that along in the physical design of your spaces. So that's what he was looking at.
Okay.
And that's where this extra $600,000 came in. Wow. So most, now, this is just good universal design, right? What's good for a child on the spectrum is going to be good for you. It's just really helpful. And I hope that you don't ever notice a penny of it. I hope that it is just so seamlessly embedded in your experience that you don't ever notice. Some things are, there are predictive pathways throughout the museum. So if you need to go to an elevator, they're always red. If you need to go to a staircase, they're always orange. Each gallery has its own different color-coded symbol.
Okay.
If a child is not reading, which, you know, let's face it, 50% of our guests can't read because they are little kids.
Yes,
right?
Absolutely.
They're currently not supposed to be reading. So we came up with iconography. So there's an icon for every gallery that is on the map and it's on the wayfinding signage. And so you don't necessarily have to be able to read English. That's also helpful for our visitors
from
Brazil and Puerto Rico. I mean, we've had visitors from all 50 countries and like 14 different, I mean, sorry, all 50 states and like 14 different countries.
That's amazing.
So we couldn't translate for all of those countries anyways, right?
Yes.
So the icons are again, they're just universally helpful. Another really fun fact is included in that budget is that when you walk in, it's a exposed ceiling. You know, you can see the ductwork, the double height space. But when you're talking, you don't feel like you're standing in a Costco. And that's because, like in the podcast studio, you've got this sound impact continuation paneling.
Right.
We've got the same thing, but it looks like a mural and it looks like the sky behind Dot, our big dragon of toys.
Oh, fun. I love that.
Right. So we tried. It was very intentional inclusivity measures put into the budget, but in a way that molded and just kind of folded in the overall aesthetics of the building.
Amazing.
So when we did all of that, we really wanted to make sure that we could continue that for the kids who just needed that extra little push.
Right.
So one more thing about this is you might hear people say, you know, there's a sensory room, right? A room where you can either be over or under stimulated. Most of the time they're trying to be under stimulated.
Right.
Unless it's like a visual stimulation. And we had plans for having a sensory room in the new museum. And when we were talking through this with Dr. Dotson, he said, by the time you need a sensory room, like, don't you want them to not need it? Don't you want them to not be over or under stimulated?
Right. I mean, a valid question.
Right. If the grownups are bringing the child here, it's because they are either practicing a new skill they're working on in occupational behavior therapy. They just want them to be able to be a kid.
Yeah.
They want them to be around other people like them. I mean, they're going to a public space to experience a public space. Why do you want to do that and then pull them into a sensory room to help them regulate?
Didn't think about that. I didn't think about it like
we
that.
We didn't either, right? So what we did is built in high and low sensory experiences throughout the whole building.
Okay.
So that you don't have to leave the experience.
Right. I mean, that makes sense.
Right? if you need to regulate and do something bigger with your body, you can go over here and do this thing.
Right. Yeah.
If you are overstimulated and you just need a darker corner or something mm-hmm. soft to rub your hand on, then you don't have to leave the gallery. You just
go to a different area.
Right.
Wow. That seems better than just the room.
Yeah, we thought so too.
And I wouldn't have, what a great question to ask. You know,
right.
if they're coming out here, you don't necessarily want them to need that
right.
necessarily. You know, not that that's a bad thing.
No.
But to work it into the space so that they don't have to stop playing or enjoying, it seems better.
Right.
That's awesome.
Yeah, we thought so too.
Yeah, I mean, I think it's great to hear the inclusivity.
Yeah.
Of, you know, making sure that every kid that comes in can enjoy their time and not feel overstimulated or understimulated. Yeah. And I can't even imagine doing that as a child because there are days that I'm overstimulated as an adult.
Yeah,
and
sure.
I'm like, how does a child go about regulating this feeling? You know, because they don't have all of the knowledge and the practice to try to regulate.
They don't have the neural synapses.
Yeah.
Their brain literally hasn't developed to do that yet.
Can't do that job yet.
Yeah.
So that's amazing that you guys have, you know, had the forethought to kind of weave these things through. And it feels very seamless and mm-hmm. easy and everybody can come and enjoy. So I definitely thought that was important to highlight that even people who might have a little bit of a sensory issue, you know, that they could still come and enjoy. Mm-hmm. So
yeah,
I love that. You actually mentioned United Way a couple times, and we work with United Way. They're amazing. And I read that you guys have collaborated with them to offer free admission from noon to five on the last Monday of the month, mm-hmm. right? Am I right about
yeah.
that? So how did that kind of come about? I think that's a really great thing to offer.
Yeah, thank you. So we did a program for a decade that was meant to address the school readiness issue. And at the time, the most prominent research was saying that, and it is still saying that the number one predictor of school performance is the household income.
Wow.
And the thought being that if we were committed to helping kids be school ready, that we were going to use this financial grant program through United Way, mm-hmm. and we had a program called Financial Fitness for Families. And so they were, there was a curriculum that we had people trained on, and
okay.
we did family financial literacy. So it was with the parents and the kids.
Oh, okay.
And there were times when they were in a room together, and there were times when they were in different rooms, and then they would come back together and do an activity. But it allowed the kids to be aware that, you know, the parents, the grownups in their lives working on their financial health.
Right.
So that when they said, no, we can't go to McDonald's, or no, we're going to make a different
right.
choice, then it became a family decision and everyone knew it was going on.
I love that.
Right. It was
yeah.
really great.
Yeah. Yeah.
And when we were moving to Florida Children's Museum, and we just realized that we didn't have the capacity to keep that going, but we knew that there were so many other partners that Polk County, that United Way funds in Polk, Highlands,
oh, yes.
and Hardy County
yeah.
doing that work solely,
mm-hmm.
right? We're the children's museum and we were filling a need for families. But now, 10 years later, there's lots of programs who this is their sole mission. And
right.
we really wanted a chance to highlight that. And now the county is funding these navigators, the United Way navigators. And so now there's, you know, somebody's job who can sit there and say, yes, let me connect you with this thing. What do you know?
Right.
And we'll get you the... So I said, let's use the Children's Museum as a mechanism to connect people with these other partners.
Okay.
And that's how it came about.
Wow.
So we offer free admission. People can come in. They don't have to talk to the United Way partners or the navigators, but they're there and you
nice.
Know that you can get the help if you need it.
Right.
You know, something as simple as I need help connecting with a rent payment or utility payment.
Mm.
Can you give me a resource for that?
Mm-hmm.
Two, I really want to increase my credit score because I have a goal of buying a house in the next 3 years.
Oh.
Great. Here's
yeah.
a course at, you know, Mulberry Finance Center, and it's completely free. It's paid by United Way and they'll get you there. So, it, you know, again, another whole host of services. United Way has been a great partner, not just then, but now.
Mm-hmm.
We have on site the United Way of Central Florida Carol Jenkins Barnett Children's Resource Center.
Okay.
And they provide free social services for low-income families.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
So I didn't know that.
Yeah. So they've got their own entrance and exit out of the building.
Nice.
But there's a door right into our early learning gallery called Watermelon Seeds from their space. And they do everything from free developmental play groups for low-income families to kind of the highest spectrum of needs, which would be supervised visitation for parents trying to regain their parental rights. So we are neighbors and share a break room. And
yeah,
they're really wonderful.
Well, something that we say in Winter Haven, but I mean, I have seen this in Polk County as a whole. It feels like mostly everyone is very collaborative.
Yeah.
And wanting to make those connections for the greater good of the community. And so it's amazing. Obviously, United Way is amazing. But, you know, being able to make those connection points so that people can really benefit. And it's not just a, like we said before, you know, come and play on this playground. Mm-hmm. You know, there are so many more resources at your fingertips that I didn't even know about, you know. And that might be because maybe I don't have that need, but that doesn't mean that there aren't a lot of parents who come in and have that need. And so to be able to make those connections for them and hopefully have them grow and, you know, become successful in whatever way that looks like for them is really important. So that's really awesome. And I love that I'm learning so many things that I didn't know.
Oh, good.
So that's exciting. And we love United Way. So that's just a shameless plug for United Way,
yeah,
too.
Yeah.
So why do you think that it's important to encourage our communities to access resources like the Children's Museum?
That's a great question. Children's museums, well, I'll say our mission is mm-hmm. to curate the world for all children to explore. And it's a very loaded mission.
It is loaded, but good, but great.
But good, right? But let's talk about why we want kids to explore. So when I was a kid, I could jump on my bike and run out. And, you know, it was a home before sundown situation.
Right.
I didn't have a cell phone. My parents didn't have a cell phone. Right? Mm-hmm. This is the 80s and 90s. And you just went out. But when I went out on my bike, I happened upon other kids that I didn't know.
Mm-hmm.
And I used my gut to get to know them. I grew social skills in learning how to communicate with them.
Right.
I fell off my bike and hurt my knee. And I had to problem solve how to get up and how to, you know, calm myself down and decide if I could get a, you know, if I needed to do that, or maybe I could walk to my friend's house and call mm-hmm. my mom on the landline, or, mm-hmm. you know, whatever I needed to do. For the most part, kids now don't have that same
yeah.
level of experience.
Right, right.
So when you want a child to learn how to make genuine connections, how to communicate with people not like them, when you want them to practice healthy risk-taking and problem solving and critical thinking, those things don't always naturally happen in a home now or outside the home in active play.
Yeah.
Which makes children's museums really important for Gen Z and beyond.
Yeah.
I mean, more important than ever, I would say.
I've never thought about it like that. I think I was probably one of the last generations to get the mix of, because I was born in the 90s.
Mm-hmm.
So I remember a lot of my memories are outside playing with my friends and kickball and flag football and, you know, the whole thing. And riding on our bikes to playgrounds and, you know, the whole thing. And then, I mean, as I got a little bit older, then there was a little bit of TV time here and there, you know. But, I mean, those days are long gone, it seems.
Yeah.
And I didn't think about just the idea of being out on your own and just mm-hmm. things happening and learning how to adapt and be nimble and,
yep,
you know, is there a safe environment to learn those things now? And that is where I would think you are, you know, talking about children's museums and how those resources are important for kids to learn new skills in a different environment that maybe they're not used to.
Right.
And like you said, I mean, being around different people.
Mm-hmm.
There's so many. I mean, if you go to Bonnet Springs and the Florida Children's Museum, you're going to see a lot of different people. And that's a good thing, you know, to be surrounded by different people who come from different backgrounds. And those little kids just making little friends out there is so cute.
Yeah.
But obviously, a resource that I don't think people think about in that light, you know, because some people might just think of it as a glorified playground, and that's obviously not the case.
You know, even if they do, that's fine.
Right.
You have to find it. You have to come to it where you're ready.
Right.
And if you just want your kids to go out and play and you're like, sure, you're like, I'm either going to go to the bounce house or we're going to go to the children's museum, and you choose to go to the children's museum, love it.
Right.
We will meet you where you're at.
Yeah.
But maybe on that visit, you'll go to our STEM challenge and you'll use some UV reactive paper to make a print of a leaf.
That sounds fun.
Right? Or you'll happen upon our guided play session with our early learning team, and you see how our trained professional early learning educators are guiding play with your child, and you're like, huh, I didn't know they could do that. And then you take it home and you try it on your own.
Right.
So I am more than happy for people to make the assumption that we're a playground, and then maybe we can meet them where they're at.
Right.
Right.
It opens the door, at least. And yeah. I didn't think about it like that. You know, you come and then you realize, wow, this is a lot more than a playground. But whatever gets them in the door to explore is the main thing. So
right.
I appreciate that you said that. And this is probably going to be a difficult question for you.
Okay.
But what is your favorite thing about the Florida Children's Museum?
Oh, gosh.
I know. And honestly, don't just pick one. I mean, how can I can't believe I even am putting you through this, because this is very rude of me to ask just one thing. But
I would say my favorite thing about the Children's Museum are the people.
Yeah.
The people who choose to work there. I mean, we're a nonprofit. Nobody's getting wealthy.
Mm-hmm, right. Right. We get that.
Right. The folks who choose to work there and pour themselves into the visitors every day, mm-hmm. and the passion that they have for what we do, I've never seen a team like this before.
Mm.
I'm a little bit older than you, so I've been in the workforce a little bit longer. And to say that your coworkers truly enjoy each other. Everyone has that person that they enjoy being around, and they're really great collaborators. And mm-hmm. we do a lot of work in task forces, like across departments.
Okay.
And how willing they are to learn from one another. It's so inspiring. I really, really am honored that they all choose to spend their time there and put up with me. It's really kind.
Well, I'm sure it is a delight to work with you, Carrie. I'm quite sure. And just hearing your wealth of knowledge, and I'm sure your team is also, you know, full of people who also have so much knowledge and experience.
They're really great.
And knowing that there are special, wonderful people behind the scenes makes an experience, you know, all the more wonderful, especially when you have little ones. You know, you want to come somewhere where, you know, the people who are working there care about what they do.
Right.
And that shines through, you know, yeah. I think it really does.
And the other people that are there are the people choosing to come.
Right.
And every single one of them is special. And we're very grateful to have such a beautiful world-class facility. We would be willing to teach them with a cardboard box, right?
Yes.
You don't need all of the fancy tools to
right,
do this.
Right, right.
But we happen to have them, and they're beautiful, and they're a lot of fun. And the people that choose to come, whether, you know, you have an EBT card and you didn't pay, or you have some privilege and some disposable income and you did pay, we're grateful for everyone. And the fact that in today's day and age where everyone is so stressed and burnout is a hot topic,
mm-hmm.
To recognize that grownups are using their gas money.
Their gas money, that's for dang sure,
right?
Isn't it?
If they're going to use their gas money and pack snacks and
right.
take the time to come yeah. to the Children's Museum, I mean, how special is that?
Right.
I'm grateful for every single one of them.
Well, thank you so much for sharing that. I want you to know that your passion shines through. It's very obvious that you have a passion for what you do.
Thank you.
And I'm sure the people that you work with are just the same, and would love to meet them one day as
yeah.
well. But is there anything, Carrie, that we didn't talk about that you want to make sure that our listeners know about? Anything new or old? Anything that you think they might want to know about?
Sure. So I would love to plug the website.
Go
which
for
is explorefcm.org. So explore Florida Children's Museum, but the acronym, explorefcm.org. Right. And there you can find the schedule of our daily programs. So six times a day, included in your general admission, at no additional cost, are our educator-directed programs. So in addition to the six galleries that we have that you get to explore, you could happen upon one of these educational experiences.
Okay.
In spring of 24, we're piloting a Splat Studio, which will be at times open-ended and at times directed art studio and creative placemaking.
Love that.
So fun.
Sounds fun.
We will include opportunities for early learners. So
okay.
When your little one is up and moving.
Oh, we will be there. Yeah. You know we will be there.
Then summer is always so fun. This summer, our theme is the summer of discovery. So there's going to be lots of things to discover. So all of that is on explorefcm.org. The other thing that we are in dire need of right now are volunteers.
Okay.
So anyone 14 and older, that's under the Join Our Team, and you can become a VIP. So volunteers in play.
Ooh, I like it.
Yeah. So that's something that we always need. We sanitize everything every 24 hours.
You know what? I actually asked that the other day. I was walking somewhere with my husband, and I was like, do you think they sanitize? I don't know. I just thought about it. Well, my little girl has been sick on and off, but, you know, it's just something that you think about. I didn't even think, yeah, somebody's got to come and do that.
Yeah, absolutely.
Oh, my gosh.
We call them manipulatives or loose parts.
Okay.
And we have multiple sets of everything. So everything gets sanitized at various rates. Everything gets sanitized every 24 hours and then deeper disinfectant on a regular schedule. And
yeah.
Then we've got three sets of costumes.
Oh.
And so there's a set of costumes that are out. There's a set of costumes kind of on deck ready to
right.
go. And there's a set of costumes being laundered.
I didn't think about that.
Yeah, because they on site.
Because again, like I said, I went when it was back in downtown Lakeland.
Yeah.
And they can dress up.
Yeah.
And I don't think about that.
Yeah.
You know, because you just play with it. The kids play with it and then you move on and you don't think about it again.
Yeah.
But somebody's got to deal with that.
Somebody deals with that. We have very talented people who take care of it. And, you know, people who donate their time to mend the costumes, and Sue Schillender, who hand sews all the capes and dancer skirts.
Yeah.
It's just really, really wonderful. So, volunteers are always
okay.
super important to us. We could not do what we do without them.
Wow. Well, when you think about that, I'm like, kids sometimes play kind of rough. So yeah, costumes might get a little tattered from time to time. And then kids also carry these fun germs around.
Yes.
So yeah, things need to be sanitized. I didn't even think about that. You know what? It takes a village.
It sure
really
does.
Yes.
Yeah.
So if you're listening to the podcast, check out the website.
Mm-hmm.
And then if you are looking for some fun things to do and, you know, spend some time volunteering, this is a great opportunity.
Yeah.
So definitely go on the website and check that out. Carrie, is there anything else you can think of?
I am so grateful to you and the whole Winter Haven Chamber. Thank you for letting us come down the road and talk. We love the visitors from Winter Haven. We get a lot of you.
Oh, I bet.
Yeah.
I bet.
We are Polk County proud around here. So,
absolutely.
We're just so grateful to your chamber members, the businesses, small and large, who invest in you so that you can do great educational things like this podcast. So thank you so much.
Well, absolutely. And thank you for saying that. You know, this is happening in the Haven podcast. So this is Winter Haven. But, you know, it's so important to highlight everything that's going on in Polk County. And here at the Winter Haven Chamber, you know, we are very one Polk minded. You know, we're all working together for the same goal. We really want to be a location for people to play, stay, work, and live. And while we love to keep people in Winter Haven, we also want to, you know, give people the educational tools to know what's out there. And 20 minutes down the road, you know, like, how would you not go check out this amazing resource?
Yeah.
That's right down the road. And obviously doing a lot more than just being a playground. You know, you guys are doing so many intentional, purposeful things to not only make a difference in a child's life, to make a difference in the whole family.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that that's really special and work that should be applauded. So thank you so much for even taking the time to come over here and chat with me. And I hope that we created more ambassadors for the Children's Museum through this podcast. But guys, if you're listening, just make sure to check out the website, volunteer your time, follow them on social media, and most of all, go check it out for yourself.
Yes, come play.
Absolutely. Well, thank you so much for being on the podcast, Carrie.
Thank you for having me.
We would like to welcome and thank Advent Health for sponsoring Season 8 of our podcast.
Hi, my name is Dr. Paul Williams. I'm a physician with Advent Health. I treat patients with a variety of breast disorders and offer screening services for those without breast problems. At Advent Health Medical Group Mammography at Davenport, patient care is our top priority. That's why our office now offers a new mammography experience using 3D Genius Mammography Exam and the Brevera breast biopsy system. They offer earlier detection and a faster, less invasive process to complete mammograms and breast biopsies. For more information or to schedule an appointment, please call 863-421-7276.
Be sure to tune in every week to It's Happening in the Haven, available on all your favorite podcasting platforms. To learn more about Winter Haven and the Chamber, visit winterhavenchamber.com or follow us on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, and TikTok. We hope you've learned a little bit about our community today and even more about the people who are shaping its future. After all, no true community exists without the people who form it. Winter Haven. Some call it a haven, we call it home.